Controversy over big money has the Clintons making a major change. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Former President Bill Clinton says the family's foundation will no longer take foreign or corporate donations if Hillary Clinton wins the White House. Clinton's campaign has been taking hits from critics who say the donations create conflicts of interest. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Mark.
So remind us what the Clinton Foundation does.
Well, it's a charity. It raises money for things like fighting disease, poverty, and addressing global climate change.
And so presidents, they have foundations and libraries and activities after the White House, but it's kind of a problem if your spouse is going to run for president. Explain why the foundation's making this move.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the changes. Also, Bill Clinton would resign if Hillary Clinton were elected. The foundation wouldn't take any more foreign contributions. It wouldn't take money from foreign or domestic corporations or corporate charities. There's been a lot of criticism from Republicans about various contributions to the foundation. They say the foundation is a conflict of interest, with foreign governments giving money to it in an effort to influence U.S. foreign policy. The Wall Street Journal has reported that 60 companies lobbying the State Department gave more than $26 million to the foundation when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. The Journal says those companies include Microsoft and Walmart. Hillary Clinton resigned from the foundation's board after she announced she was running for president.
So these newly announced changes, are they going to be enough to satisfy some of the criticism that's out there?
You know, hard to say, Mark. The foundation has promised changes before, then been accused of backtracking. The Journal says that there was an agreement when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State that the foundation would prohibit or curtail foreign donations. The Journal says that agreement was broken several times. At one point, the foundation accepted $500,000 from the government of Algeria for earthquake relief for Haiti in 2010.
Okay, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks very much. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading. In the UK, shares are down 0.2%. In Germany, stocks are down 0.4%. Asian markets closed mostly up. The price of oil has topped $51 a barrel today on global markets as they consider the prospect of OPEC capping production. The cartel is due to meet next month. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore has more.
Oil has risen more than 20% in price in the last month as investors react to signals that OPEC's member countries could be ready to agree to cap production. The cartel will hold an informal meeting in Algeria next month, amid growing speculation that Iran and Saudi Arabia could put their differences aside to address a global glut of supplies. A former president of OPEC, Chakib Khalil, has said a deal to limit output is likely because production by the group's biggest members is at record levels. The possibility of Russia, which is not a member of the cartel, cooperating to cap production is also influencing investors. Traders have also pushed up the price of oil following data from the US showing a fall in stockpiles amid rising demand for fuel.
BBC's Russell Padmore. Our collective hunger for guacamole may be fueling environmental destruction. Sky-high avocado prices have some farmers in Mexico planting avocado trees in a way that's threatening important forest lands and water supplies. Mark Stevenson has been covering this for the Associated Press and joins us from Mexico City. Mark, what are the economic factors driving all this?
The consumer demand for avocados has spiked in recent years just because whatever the reality is, it's viewed as a healthy choice. You can see it when you go into the hills in the western Mexico state of Michoacán. You can often just see these small country two-lane roads, and they're just sometimes almost bumper to bumper with these big farm trucks coming down carrying crates of avocados. And what Mexico has just done is signed a series of agreements with China, which allowed lower tariffs and increased imports of avocados. And that has people somewhat concerned. If demand from the U.S. market has caused this rate of deforestation, imagine what demand from China would do.
So what's actually happening in Mexico that's raising these concerns about avocado farming damaging the environment?
This crop, especially as a cash crop, is just so much more attractive than anything else farmers can plant or do for a living. So you can either continue to preserve your forest Or you can sort of start out planting avocado saplings, 20 acres here, 20 acres there. And these are sensitive forests. They support not only the monarch butterfly, but they support an entire range of animals, plant life, and, of course, the forestry industry there in Michoacan.
And so the government is trying to crack down on some of the illegal farming that's raising concerns. How much of an impact is that effort having?
The government has recently conducted a series of raids. We've seen two of them, in which they usually arrive after significant damage has been done to the woodlands, but they've seized hundreds of avocado saplings. They're probably not catching all of it. Farmers have a subtle practice of planting avocado trees under the forest canopy and then just thinning the forest out to let those trees have sunlight. So it's a stealth practice, but it's the piecemeal effect cumulatively becomes quite large.
Mark Stevenson with the AP in Mexico City. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, construction is done on what's billed as America's first offshore wind farm. It's a small affair, five turbines off Rhode Island. The $300 million project wrapped up yesterday. It should be in full swing this fall after testing. Once up and running, it'll power about 17,000 homes. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.